Matthew chapter 13. We'll look at the parable of the seed and the soils, typically called the parable of the sower. I'm not looking to change the name, but for the purposes of today, because the 3 points in my outline are parable, seed, and soil, so we'll say the parable of the seed and the soils. Let's pray once again before we start the service, the message this morning. Father, we do once again give you our attention. We do pray that you would help us to focus on you, and that you would calm and focus our distracted minds, and that you would speak to us. Bless this time. We know that your word does not return void. It's powerful and effective. We pray that it would do its work this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we continue along in the life of Jesus through the book of Matthew, we see that Jesus, speaking to the multitudes here, he takes a different approach in the way that he talks to them. He starts to talk to them in parables, and only parables. Now, what is a parable? Well, a simple definition, if you look at the Greek word they use, it means to cast alongside. And it's just taking a story, but using it to illustrate another purpose. So a story with kind of two meanings. Some say parables are earthly stories with heavenly truths or heavenly meanings. And it's just simple comparisons or allegories to try to illustrate, to try to communicate a point. So all of a sudden here, Jesus is speaking in parables, and only parables, as he speaks to the multitudes. The disciples noticed this, and they asked him about it. These parables, and he was trying to communicate, as he says, mysteries. Trying to communicate things that they didn't know, that they didn't understand, using these parables. Why? If you look at verse 10 of chapter 13. The disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Simple question. And he answers it in verses 11 through 15. He says, "You know what? You guys can understand. It's been given to you to understand the mysteries, but they don't understand. They can't hear. They've closed their eyes and shut up their ears, and they don't understand, and they can't understand the truth. So I speak to them in parables." So this multitude, they didn't want to hear the truth that he had to give them. Not only that, they didn't have the capacity to hear. The Bible says that certain things are spiritually discerned, and that some cannot receive them or understand them apart from a spiritual way. So here, Jesus only speaks to them in parables. I was reading one commentary, made a point that it wasn't that Jesus was trying to hide the truth. Oh, nothing was farther from the truth, that he was trying to hide something. In fact, it was almost like Jesus, his whole heart was to communicate these truths. That's what his purpose was. Oh, I want to tell you guys. And they were like, la, 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 we don't want to hear it. And we can't. So Jesus says, okay, I'll tell you what, let's just talk about a sower. Let's just talk about regular things. But in everything he was talking about, the message was still there, the hidden message. You could see here, the purpose was, the reason why he spoke in parables, an attempt to communicate important truth to those not listening or unable to understand. The attempt on Jesus' part to still communicate, though they stop listening. One time, Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, and he was trying to explain to him something spiritual using a regular earthly story or analogy. He said, the wind blows where it wishes. You can't see where it comes from or where it goes, but you can hear the sound of it. You can see the effects of it. So is the Spirit. And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? I don't understand you. And he said, you know, how can you understand spiritual things if I tell you earthly things and you don't understand? You see, Jesus using a parable is the best he can do at describing the truths of the kingdom, spiritual truths. This is as simple as he can make it. And for those that can't understand, it's because they're not listening the right way. That's why he said at the end of his parable, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." There's something to this. I'm not just talking about a sower. I'm not just giving a farming tip or lesson. There's something here for those who look deeper, for those that listen with faith and believe. We see here, there's a verse in Mark that says he spoke to them in parables as they were able to hear. So again, trying to communicate an attempt to communicate, though they weren't listening. I see the most attractive thing to this whole way of him using parables is you see his heart. His heart. Jesus was relentless in communicating the truth, relentless in communicating God's word to the people. And even when they didn't want to hear it and they refused to hear it, and even when they couldn't hear it, he kept telling them in any way he could, figuring out. And you'll see all of these parables. We're going to only look at the first one. But all the parables use the most common things that they were familiar with. Everybody knew what seed did and how seed worked and how it would go in different soils. They were farmers. They understood that. And he used the illustration of a net, a drag net with fish, and most of them were fishermen. And he used the most simple analogies and examples as he could, desperately trying to communicate, because his heart is to communicate with him. The Bible says in Peter that the long-suffering of God toward us is great, that he's not willing that any of us should perish, that any should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. And there he was as they said, la, 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 la. He says, if anybody will listen, I'm going to keep talking. And if you'll only hear, you can, if you look in the end of verse 15, so that I should heal them. See, if they could hear and they could understand, then they could grasp something and be healed from it. His heart for them. And look real quick in verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold. In another gospel, the same parable, he says, behold, listen. You could see his heart coming through. He wanted to get their attention. Pay attention. Listen. Watch. There's something in this for you. And then again, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Look at verse 16. He says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to hear what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So he's saying, oh, if you understand it, looking at his disciples, you guys understand. Oh, you're blessed. That's great. That's wonderful. Many people tried to. You're blessed to understand. So his heart, the importance of understanding, comes through. Why Jesus used parables. Now, as we draw our attention to this parable, we read the story this morning, the parable of the seed and the soils. We look at the seed. What does the seed represent? The good thing about this parable is that Jesus gives us a definition. He tells us what it means. Not all the parables, only a couple of parables he does that for us. He told his disciples, after, when they were by themselves, what this parable meant. So let's look. Let's cheat. Let's go to verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, speaking of the seed in another gospel, Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. In the book of Peter, Peter tells us that we were born again, not with corruptible, but incorruptible seed, the word of God. So we look at this parable and we realize, man, there's something to this. Jesus is trying to communicate something to us, something important, something wonderful that if we could understand, it could make an impact. So we look at the seed that he's drawing our attention to refers to the word of God, the word of God. And I want to look at the potential this morning of the Word of God. This book here that we all open up, that we bring to church with us, we have free access to, many different languages and translations all around the world. Most popular book, bestseller for hundreds of years, portions of it for thousands of years. The potential in this book is amazing. And Jesus is saying, you know what? The Word of God is the seed, and the seed can bear fruit in your hearts. The seed can bear fruit. This Bible, this word, this message can affect you. It can cause you to bear fruit. It can change you and transform your life. The potential of the Word of God, it is powerful. The Bible says in Hebrews, the Word of God is living. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Do you realize what this can do? This word, this Bible. Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus says you need to live by it. This book, this word. The Bible says in Thessalonians that those who received the word of God, they received it as the word of God and not as the word of men, and it effectively worked in their lives. It works. This truth, this word, works. The Bible says that His word will not return void, but will accomplish what it is set out to do. The potential of it. The Bible says in Timothy, the word of God is not chained. It is not bound. It is not limited in what it can do. It endures forever, Peter says. It is John, in the epistle of 1 John, he says, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Oh, the potential of what the word of God can do in us. The word of God in written form. We read the account of creation in Genesis as God said, let there be light, and there was light. And by the word of God, matter was spoken into existence, and everything you see was created. You can see that it must be pretty powerful. And here we have preserved for us His message in written form, with power, with potential to affect us. There's no mistake that it's as popular as it is. There's no mistake that people are afraid of it. As countries, communist countries, seek to oppress and control the people, they know we can't let them have the Bible. Because you can't control people who read and believe the Word of God. No mistake that they're afraid of this book. No mistake that people passionately will give their lives to have a text once they realize the potential in it. Truly, we hold something very effective, powerful, and the potential is amazing. It's sad that many people seem bored about the Bible. And you see in Western society, many churches, that they'll maybe preach from a book instead of the Bible. Let's do a series through the purpose-driven life. Or this book or that book. Or let's preach on hymns instead of Scripture. Or I've heard of one guy preaching out of the Sunday morning newspaper. There's nothing wrong with that stuff, but why are you going to set down the Word of God? Those books aren't alive. Those books don't have the same potential. You can't read the paper and receive it into your heart, and it's guaranteed to bear fruit, to make a difference, to accomplish a purpose. Oh, that we would all realize the potential and be excited about this book that we hold in our hands. It's real. The enemy knows it. And this tells us his defeat, and he's good at trivializing it. It's not important. He's behind that. But oh, the potential, the power, the transforming power of God's Word to bear fruit in your life. It's what we're created to do, to have purpose, to do something worthwhile, to be something, be who we were created to. And the potential is found in this Word to bring that about in our lives. Personally, I can say honestly, without any fear of being inaccurate, that the Bible has personally affected and changed and transformed my life. I can look at specific times where God used a specific scripture to turn, to change the direction of my life. And I can say honestly, man, I would be a different person, a much worse person, apart from God's working in my life, and He uses His Word like no other text, like no other tool. He uses His Word. The Holy Spirit uses the living Word to change us, to affect us. And He's got a lot of work to do in me still. A lot of things need to be changed. But I know what can work. I've seen it work. And it can work for you too. This is real. This is alive. We believe this. And we promote this without any shame. But we also see the potential of God's Word in this parable, this story that Jesus tells. We also see something else, though. As He tells about the seed being scattered, not all the seed bears fruit. We see here a warning that the effect of this seed does not come to fruition in everyone's life. See, the potential is here, but it's not realized in some hearts, some lives. And many people can say, the Bible's never done anything for me. And that could be true. And many people can read, can hear the Bible, and it not have that same transforming, powerful impact. And we see here, Jesus details a story to tell us why. And as we look at the soils, we're going to find out what the reason is. As here, you know, Jesus was speaking in parables to communicate to those who didn't want to listen, those who couldn't hear. And this story kind of tells us why people can't hear or listen or receive and receive the transforming effect of God's word. Jesus was there. He was speaking God's word. And not everybody wanted to listen. In fact, many of them couldn't change from what he was saying. So he tells a story, and we're going to look at the four soils to learn why. Because we want to read God's word, and we want it to transform our lives. At least I want that. And I want to know why. Sometimes I can read the Bible, or I can hear God's word, and it have no effect in my life, when it has the potential to change everything. Why? Well, we have the answers, I believe, in this parable, as Jesus tells the simple story about the four soils. We see in verse 4, "And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." And then look in verse 19 for his description and explanation of his point. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." So you go out in this field. I was reading in one commentary that at this time in this area, people lived in little villages, and they wouldn't plant their crops in their backyard, but they would all go out to the open field, and they'd find a place and they'd scatter seed. And through this open field, there were paths that crisscrossed. And he said some seed would fall on these paths. And the ground, it wasn't tilled. It was hard. And the seed would be trampled. And then he said the birds of the air would come and eat the seed off the paths, off the wayside. And the illustration, he says, these are the people who hear, but they don't understand. And the devil, Satan, comes and snatches up the word. Those that their heart isn't broken up, they're not really listening. This would have defined many of the multitudes that he spoke to. La, 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 la. As they hear God's word, that's a book of fairy tales. They give that approach to God's word. And they never even really listen or understand what it has to say. And interesting, Satan snatches the seed. If you want to avoid God's word, you have some spiritual support in Satan. You know, God loves us. And when we put effort forward to seek him, he reaches back out to us and he draws us. And we have spiritual support when we seek God. He's there. His arm is not too short to take us. And he's waiting for us to turn to him and show some effort so he can help us. And we have spiritual support. But the same is true for the reverse. When we say, I don't really want to hear God's word, the enemy will help us there. He will help bring distractions. He'll help take those convicting little tidbits that may have come into our ears. He'll help us forget those. He'll help take those away from us if we don't want to hear. And so Jesus says, some, they don't even understand. They don't even receive the word in the first place. And the enemy takes away anything that might have penetrated. So there's absolutely nothing there. But you think of in the illustrative world as hearts are referred to as little pieces of soil. You see this barren little pathway, desolate, with no seed, no plant, no life, nothing. Second soil. First of all, so what is the lesson? As we look at this story, anticipating, what is God trying to tell me? What can I learn from the wayside to where I can hear God's word and it not be stolen by the enemy? Well, let it in. As the problem with the wayside is the ground wasn't tilled. It wasn't meant to have seed planted there. It was a pathway. So when we hear God's word, don't just trample it. Value it and open up. Let it in. Receive it. Open your heart to receive it. That was the problem. In fact, of the four soils, only one did not receive the seed, and that was here, the wayside. Receive it, the lesson to be learned. Desire to understand it. Don't just hear, yeah, whatever that means. It's just a book of fairy tales. No, put effort. What does that mean? What are people so excited about? A lot of people out there, they know that the Bible's so popular. They know that it's the most best-selling book in the world. But they never really understood the message. Do you know what the Bible's all about? Do you know the message? Have you put some effort forth into seeing for yourself what it's about? I'll give you a hint. It's all about Jesus. It's the central character of the book. But here, the lesson to be learned, desire to understand. Some don't understand. Look in verse 5 and 6. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. So the second soil here, stony places. Now, I'm going to give a little more detail as to aspects of these soils. This parable is told three times in Scripture. Mark 4 gives an account of it, and Luke 8. And each one, he may use another word to describe the soil. So I'm going to try to bring those out so we can fully understand. But this stony ground, this soil here, what was its problem? Well, it lacked depth. It said it had no depth of earth. Another portion in, I think, Mark said it had no moisture. It lacked moisture. And because it had a thin layer of soil and rock underneath, the water couldn't, the nutrition couldn't get to the plant. The plant couldn't drink up the water. It lacked depth and moisture. And it didn't last. As it sprang up, it died as soon as the sun came up. So what can we learn? Look in verse 20. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. There's a progression here. See, some people, they don't even want to listen to the word. They don't even let it penetrate even the surface. And they don't understand it at all. They don't receive it. Then some get a little further here, the next soil. Some, they'll receive it as the stony ground. It says they receive the seed. They'll receive it. They'll listen. They'll understand. They'll even believe it. But there's a problem with this soil. We see that this represents people with hearts that are emotional, impulsive, and temporary. Those are kind of the three problems with this soil. As it says, they receive it with joy and gladness. You might ask these people, so why do you read the Bible? Because it makes me happy. You see, some churches, they'll preach the happy stuff. And people will receive it with joy. And they'll have more people come. And they'll keep out the sad parts, the serious, sobering truths of God's word. So many people will receive it with joy, and they'll spring up, and they'll have a seeming effect, and there'll be a seemingly growth there as they hear God's word as an emotional response. But there's a problem with being led by only our emotions and not having something deeper. That's the problem here. It's not deep enough. Their other problem here is that they're impulsive. It says they immediately hear the word. And then later it says the plant immediately dies. As soon as the sun comes up, as soon as there's persecution and problems, they immediately fall away. There's this impulsiveness. There's a problem with being emotional and impulsive as you approach God's word. Oh man, that could be true. Hey, let's try it. What the heck? Who knows? It makes me happy. And it was temporary, as it wasn't a decision they made to receive it in a permanent sense, for better or for worse, whatever God says. It was just a temporary, impulsive, emotional thing, and it didn't last. So what can we learn from this? As we don't want to have a temporary effect as we read God's word. We don't want the plant to die. And the problem again here, it yielded no crop. There was no fruit. Sure, it sprang up, but it died before it could bear fruit. So the effect wasn't really there. There was some growth, but no fruit. So what can we learn? Slow down. Think it through and let God's word go deeper past the surface. You know, our emotions express our heart. Our emotions express our heart. But as you hear God's word, it needs to go deeper than the surface of just emotionally receiving it. It's just the expression of our heart. We need to let it all the way into our heart, deep down. Count the cost and consider the consequences. Hear the good and the bad. What if it makes you sad? Are you still going to receive it into your heart? What if it convicts you of your sin? Because it will. It will. Then what? Makes you feel bad. Are you going to just cast it away? Are you going to try something different that makes you feel better? Are you going to let it deeper so that it can not only grow, but bear fruit? We come to the third soil. In verse 7, among thorns, I was reading Pastor Chuck's commentary. He says, I believe this soil represents the majority of churchgoers. Look in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And here we have some who go a little further. Okay, they receive it deeper. They listen to the word, and they receive it deeper. It's not just an emotional, temporary thing. They believe it. They receive it deep into their heart. Even when it makes them feel bad, they receive it. And yet there's still a problem with this soil among thorns, because they receive it deeper into their heart along with these other things in their heart, these thorns, these weeds. The Bible says that the thorns sprang up and choked out the seed. Look at verse 22 for Jesus' explanation. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He becomes unfruitful. Another gospel says that gets no fruit to maturity. See, these people could even maybe bear fruit, but it never ripens. It's never any good. It never is a fruit that is profitable. And what is the problem here is there's these thorns that are allowed. They have no crop, no fruit to maturity because of, Jesus says, their desire for other things, for the pleasures of life, it says in another gospel. And how some people will do that. I know God's word is true. I believe it. I want to receive it and I want to do it. And deep in my heart, I want to please God and I want to do what he says and obey him. I really want to. But I also really want the things of this world. I really want to. Deep in my heart, I really, really want to. And there's these two things deep in your heart. And that's the problem with these people. They try to have them both. They try to do both. But Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will despise the one and be loyal to the other. So eventually, though they try to make it work, we can grow thorns and, you know, fruit in the same field. But it doesn't. And eventually the thorns choke out the fruit, and the seed bears no fruit to maturity. The Bible says in Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. See, deep in our heart is where we need to receive God's word. It's where we need to enthrone Jesus as our king. That's not where we're supposed to put a desire for money or for things. We're not to love money. We're not to have that passionate love for money. It's not supposed to be there. The Bible says that God is a jealous God. And it bothers him when you worship the things of this world, like finances. Jesus says, do not love the world. In the book of John, John writes, do not love the world or the things of the world. To love the world or the things in the world. In verse 24 of Mark chapter 10, Jesus says, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to trust in riches. James says, your riches are corrupted. You're clinging to these things of the world. They're diseased and corrupted, and they're infecting you. They're not meant to be held on so tightly. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We need to decide and choose what our master passion is, what's going to go deepest, who or what we love most. Can't have it both ways. And if you choose the world, you can't have God as your Lord and Master. And if you choose Jesus, you can't have the world as your passion, as your focus, as your goal, or what you go after. So the problem with these people, they receive God's word deep in their heart and they still don't bear fruit. How tragic. Because they also allow this passion for the things of the world in their hearts. The lesson to be learned. We need to choose. We need to empty ourselves of the things of this world. Make sure nothing else is in our heart. Loving, going after, or desire for, but Jesus. Make sure no one else is above God in our hearts, as even people can become idols to us. But finally, there's one more soil in verse 8. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. In verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. And indeed, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Oh, what makes the difference? Those who bear fruit, where the word of God makes an impact, powerfully affecting and transforming their lives. Bearing fruit. Oh, fruit's good stuff. The Bible talks about fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So many times, those things in your life would fix a lot of the issues. If you only had some peace, some self-control, more love, patience. That's the kind of fruit that will be born in your life. That the Word of God will transform and change you into. The Holy Spirit affecting, making what you do make an impact and have a difference, giving you purpose. Jesus says of these people, there's the ones that understand, that accept and keep God's word with a noble and good heart, it says in another gospel. See, it has to do with your condition, the condition of your heart. That's what this is all about. As you see, before the seed is scattered, there's four soils, and they're in different conditions, and they represent the hearts of men. How's your heart? How's your heart? Those that have a noble and good heart that open up and remove the weeds are the ones that bear the fruit. Interesting here, there's different fruitions, some 30, some 60, some 100. So the question, how much do you want the Word of God to transform your life? You want to just change you a little bit? And some limit the impact of God's Word as they believe it and accept it up to a certain point. But some, oh, they receive more. They believe more. And there's more fruit. Oh, some. It falls on good ground, yields a crop. Our prayer, our desire. Please stand. The parable of the seed and the soils. The potential of God's word working in your heart and in your life is amazing. It's wonderful. But it can be limited according to your approach to it. We need to till the ground, dig deep, pull the thorns, and receive God's word into our heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you and we acknowledge we need help. Our heart has a tendency to grow weeds, to grow hard. We so often go after other things, trivialized or distracted by the things found in your word. Pray that you would get our attention. You give us those ears to hear. As we seek you, we look to you. Oh Lord, plant your word into our hearts. Bear fruit. Change us, transform us. We believe the potential of your word. May it have its effect in our lives. Pray for assistance. pray for faith. I pray that it would have its impact as it goes forth. Thank you, Lord, for communicating so patiently your truth to us through these parables. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray that we all are radically changed by the scriptures this week. And encourage you to come tonight. Inspiring stories. William Tyndale and Billy Graham. The movies, the videos that we're showing. Very inspiring. Have a blessed day.